with his disciples unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pause and pray. Holy Father, we realize that we will be on sacred soil this morning. We just pray that in a very, very real way, thy presence and thy spirit would guide and direct for your glory. We pray in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. In an upper room, not far from Gethsemane, the last Passover has been celebrated. Those who were with our beloved Lord heard him say, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I like another rendering. It puts it this way. With the deepest of longings have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The betrayer has left that room, and he has gone to do his damnable deed and betray the eternal Christ of God, God manifest in the flesh. Word of God simply says, Judas went out, and it was night. For any man or woman who rejects the Savior, it will be night not only for time, but for eternity. The Passover has been commemorated. The Lord's Supper has been instituted. Those dear disciples heard the Lord they love, no doubt with the deepest of consternation, as he said, This is my body, which is given for you. The loaf was broken. They took their portion. It was to be followed by another clear declaration from the lips of the Christ of God when he took the cup, blessed it, and said, This is my blood, which is shed for you. And so, the Lord's Supper has been instituted. Now they leave the upper room to cross the bloody Kidron. through the Kidron Valley. The Kidron, which means dark or black. What an experience was this for the one who was the light of the world. Down through the dark valley. What a moment. I wonder, as I read the passage, if as he walked through the Kidron, he thought of David, Israel's great king. David, too, had gone through the Kidron. He'd run from his enemy son, Solomon. But, beloved, your Savior and mine wasn't running from his enemy. He was going out to meet him. Ultimately, it would not only be Gethsemane and Golgotha, and Gabbatha rather, it would be Golgotha. And so going out to deal with a sin question, your sin and mine, he goes out on this memorable day through the bloody Kidron to Gethsemane. Gethsemane has an interesting and significant meaning. It means the olive press. I know. This was the place where the public gathered and brought their olives and they crushed them and made the vital olive oil. But beloved, it was significant. This was the place where the eternal Son was to begin the experience of being crushed beneath the upper and the nether millstones of God's awful wrath. For who? Would you believe it? For the likes of you and of me. And so, he has come with those he loves to Gethsemane. The olive press. What emotions must have filled his holy soul as he entered that precinct of pain and suffering, as he anticipated the cross and all it would involve before the great work of redemption would be an accomplished fact. Think with me this morning of the agonies of Gethsemane, verses 36 to 38. They are followed by the acquiescence of the Savior in 39 to 44. And finally, the appointment of the Savior, 45 and 6. The agonies of the Savior. Who is so presumptuous to feel that he in himself can describe the suffering to which our beloved Lord was about to enter? Certainly not this man. But so it was, as the suffering Christ entered Gethsemane's garden, he, by faith we, are on holy ground this morning. And as he entered Gethsemane, he was indeed on familiar territory. But he was on an unfamiliar errand. He had been there often. The divine record says in Luke chapter 22, he came out and went as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And so, he went to Gethsemane. But never, beloved, never, never, never on such an errand is this. There were few gardens in Jerusalem, that city which graces the hills of Palestine. Most gardens were private. And those who could afford gardens had them on such places as the Mount of Olives. It is thought that a rich man owned this garden. I wonder if it was Joseph. I don't know. But I would like to think that there was a day when this rich man went to my Savior. He said, now, when you want to get out of this desert of hate, there's a little oasis on the slopes of Olivet. You can go there, and you can be alone. And often he did. He went to commune with his Father, and he spoke with the one with whom he had held fellowship for an eternity past. Among the gnarled trees, he communed with the Father. Edersheim tells us that the Garden of Gethsemane was relatively small, possibly some 70 paces square. There, the Savior had retreated. He had come to this place of prayer with 11 men he loved to speak to his Father. Seems to be, to me, beloved, that the first fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 13:7 is about to take place. Awake, O sword, against the shepherd, but against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hands upon the little ones. The beginning of his suffering and his sorrow. Arriving, he takes Peter, James, and John, leaving 8 of his colleagues behind. The chosen 3 accompany him further into the darkness. But he leaves them too with a request that they pray. Peter and James and John had been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. There they beheld his glory. But it would be different on the Mount of Olives. They would view his bloody sweat. Beloved, the very, very same one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. What a statement for the Lord Jesus Christ to make. He began to be sorrowful. The word is grieve. He began to grieve at the anticipation of what lay before him. The awful, awful cup. Exceeding sorrowful. Overcome with grief. A grief that was so intense that it could cause death. But he'd arrived now. How can that physical and that soul suffering of the Lord Jesus be described? Impossible. Isaiah 53:10-11 says in part this, he hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Imagine it. The soul of the holy, co-eternal, co-equal Christ of God, manifest now in the flesh. And his soul would become an offering for sin. It was my soul, he said. Think of how intensely personal it is as he anticipated that which lay before him. Calvary was within his gaze, and he is the man of sorrows from Isaiah 53, was anticipating the cross. My friend this morning, there are many in this company, I don't know. But as I said to a dear girl, a week ago last Friday night, Elizabeth, I've never met you before, but I know 2 things about you. I want you to read them for me. Looking at the index in her Bible, she found Romans 3:23. She read all of sin. Elizabeth, what do I know about you? She said, you know I'm a sinner. Right. Go to the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. God made known his love to you. What else do I know about you, Elizabeth? You know that God loves me. This dear girl for whom the gospel was an unknown story. Listen, as we explain the truth, a friend of mine, I know this about you, that you're a sinner. And you might not want me to tell you, but I'm not telling you. God's telling you. Thanks be to God, he loves the likes of you. Why do I know that? This book tells me. And further, 55 years ago on the 27th of this very month, Arnett McEntee believed it and trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. And I wouldn't exchange the life I've enjoyed for all the wealth in all this crazy world. Salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, as lovingly as I know how, are you on your way to heaven this morning? You're either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. Oh, please, this morning, believe that when my Savior died on the cross, he died for you to make you his very, very own. The Lord Jesus Christ was contemplating the suffering, the awfulness of that which lay before him. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. The thought there is simply this. This is a struggle for victory in one awful contest. It's like two wrestlers striving for mastery. But being in an agony, he struggled as he contemplated the awfulness of Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. But beloved, he went through all that he might be made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we, would you believe it, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God wants to make you righteous. And many in this company he has. And he has fitted them for the glory. And it is his deep desire that everyone here this morning be so prepared to go to heaven. Luke, the observant physician, as he talks about Gethsemane, he says this in 22:44. He sweat, being in an agony, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I can't understand that. I can't explain it. But I believe it with all of my heart because it's on the page of this holy book. So intense were the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he prayed and he agonized at that point. But in 39-44, we have the acquiescence of the Savior. You get the pathos in those words. Verse 38. Oh, my Father. Oh, my Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Many of us here are fathers. And if your son or mine came to you or me and said, oh, my Father, wouldn't we grant the request if it were within our possibility to do so? But that was a request that was never granted. He goes and he prays, he kneels down, and he makes his petition. I wonder, as I looked at that gnarled tree again this morning, I wonder if he kneeled against that tree. Those trees are thought to be 3,000 years old. I wonder if he kneeled against one. The position would indicate to me two things. the enormity of my sin. And secondly, the complete submission of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father's will. Three times over, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. What was that cup? That cup was a mysterious bringing together of all of the sin of all of mankind, more than 5 billion on the planet this morning, and all who have preceded us. All of those sins were brought together, and they were going to be placed upon the Son of His love in this cup, of which there was none other like it. He was going to suffer. And well might he in his hour of grief cry to his Father. An omniscient God knew the depths of suffering he would go to during those awful hours that lay before him. Beloved, the Savior contemplated that suffering for you and for me. He asked the Father for the passing of the cup, but no answer came from heaven. You see, if the request of the Savior had been granted, there would be no redemption for the like of you and me. He would experience the awfulness of the suffering for sin that you and I might never experience it. Psalmist in 88 and verse 7 says, thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. All the ways of divine and holy wrath broke upon the spotless, sinless soul of the eternal Christ. What did he say? I come in Hebrews 10 verse 9. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Cost him Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha. But that's why he had come. Thy will be done, regardless of cause. Think of the appointment of the Savior. What did he say? Father, the hour has come. The hour that was circled on the calendar of the eternal had arrived. That hour to which Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had looked forward. The hour had come. You remember the great Churchill, many of us in the company do. We would go to our radio sets, and we would listen to the message of the great man as it crackled its way across the Atlantic. We will never forget, as he spoke of brave Allied flyers, to say, this was their finest hour. This was his finest hour in the hours that would follow. The eternal Son was anticipating the cross. John puts it beautifully in 17 and 1 as he says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And the Father responds so beautifully, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Yes, he has an appointment. And going to sleeping disciples, he says to them, the hour is come. Rise. The hand of him that betrays me is here now. Let us go hence And doubt he goes to meet Judas in a hellish band to ultimately, under his submissive will, to be taken to the place of suffering. My friend, he kept an appointment, my Savior, for you. He died for you. Does it mean anything to you? Listen to the lament of Jeremiah when he says in 1 and 12, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. What does it mean to you this morning? Meant two things to him. First, meant separation from God. Secondly, it meant he would suffer the pain of sin, not his, but yours and mine. What does it mean to you this morning? His suffering on your behalf. Poet said, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord, the King. My dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, let me underscore the point. The Lord Jesus, the Eternal Son, died for you. What does it mean to you? He died that you might never die. And if you reject that love and is offered grace this morning and go out to meet him in eternity, you will die in your sins because you rejected the offer of love he made available on the cross. How about it? He experienced the second death of abandonment by God, that you might not know that. But if you reject it, you go to hell. Somebody says, I don't believe that, Mr. Speaker. Well, really, that doesn't alter the fact. Because God said it. But you say this morning, I believe God loves and he'd never send a man to hell. My friend, God sends men to hell by their choice. Why? Because he is a God of love. He loves his Son who died for your sins too much to permit you as a rebellious, unrepentant sinner to enter his holy heaven. His love for his Son is intense. We could go Friday evening, as I've mentioned. I sat with three people. Little Elizabeth, the 22-year-old, was one. After we'd explained the gospel and the Savior's love as best we could, I said to her, Elizabeth, you find John chapter 3 and verse 16. Read it to me. Eventually she found it. She started to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, she broke down and she cried. Elizabeth, why are you crying? Through those tear-filled eyes, she looked at me and she said, Arnett, did he do that for me? Yes, Elizabeth, he did that for you. And within a few moments, with that wonderful realization, Elizabeth Hogan put her trust in Jesus. Friend of mine, God loves you. Christ died for you. Do you appreciate it this morning? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Elizabeth, 55 years ago I trusted the Lord Jesus through that same verse, and with you I'm on my way to heaven. Will you come this morning hour? Please do, as we bow to pray. Loving Holy Father, thank you so much for permitting the Lord Jesus Christ to go to Gethsemane, anticipate the cross, and then to go on further and die. Thank you, Father. We pray that all in this company know or will come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We pray in His worthy name alone. Amen.